After I won, we walked the drinks over to the ladies, who were huddled on a bench near the hostess station.
Thank you.
Annalise stood for me to pass her the glass. She leaned in with an apprehensive smile.
All good?
Mine was genuine. Never better. Dinner with Lauren and Trent turned out to be surprisingly enjoyable. We talked a lot about their business, and they were open about their ups and downs and seemed to have a good grip on the market they wanted to reach. They also shared the hefty budget they'd allocated to web and television advertising, which justified the board rewarding the campaign responsible for landing the account.
So who does what? Lauren asked neither of us in particular. Is one of you web and one of you TV or something?
I let Annalise take the lead on that one. How she chose to spin it was her call.
Not really. We have team members who specialize in things like art, copy, and market research. We'll use them to jointly come up with two different campaigns to present to you.
Oh, wow, okay, Lauren smiled. I'm sure I'll love whatever you come up with. We've always had such similar taste. Yet again, Annalise could have screwed me. All she needed to do was mention that we'd each do individual pitches and they'd be picking whose they liked best. No doubt that would give Lauren a good pre-sell on which one to choose. But Annalise presenting it like it was a team effort really leveled the playing field. I glanced over and she glinted a sweet smile.
So fucking beautiful.
And that shit was contagious, because I smiled back, and I sure as shit am not a damn smiler. I'm more a pissed-off face kind of person, mostly because the majority of people piss me off. In fact, I'd venture to guess that the corners of my lips have been tilted up more since I met Annalise than in the first 30 years of my life. I let my eyes drift back to her for another look. She was just so fucking moral and good. It made me want to do immoral things and make her bad later. I used my napkin to wipe my mouth and then accidentally let it fall to the ground. Bending over to pretend to grab it, I slid my hand up Annalise's dress under the tablecloth and watched her jump when my thumb stroked over the warm center between her legs. Her reaction was to immediately slam her thighs shut, and I almost lost my balance when she closed my arm between her legs with a yank. I coughed and tugged my hand free, trying hard not to laugh. Is there some way I could finger her right now and watch her attempt to talk business to Douche's sister at the same time? She looked down at me with warning in her eyes.
Are you okay, Bennett?
I righted myself in my chair and dropped my napkin on the table in front of me. Just a slip of my hand. My hand discreetly slipped a few more times before the end of the night, the last time to squeeze her ass while we walked to the restaurant door behind our potential new clients. Their car pulled up just before mine did, so we said goodnight and watched them pull away. If they'd looked, Lauren and Trent could probably still have seen us in the rearview mirror as I pulled Annalise into my arms.
You were so bad tonight.
She pressed her palms against my chest. I brushed my lips with hers. I can't help myself. I want to do bad things to you. Come home with me. I missed you in my bed last night. Her eyes softened.
I missed you too.
I couldn't remember ever missing anyone except for Sophie. And that was totally different, because she was really gone. Yet I hadn't just fed Annalise a line. I'd actually missed her. After one night apart. And as much as the thought freaked me out, the thought of not having her in my bed tonight actually freaked me out a little more. So I ignored the warning bells blaring that I was taking things too far. The valet pulled up in Annalise's car.
I'll follow you, I said.
Actually, could we stay at my place tonight? I ordered a new chair for my living room 2 months ago, and it's being delivered tomorrow morning sometime.
Yeah, of course.
I kissed her forehead. As long as I fall asleep and wake up inside of you, doesn't matter where we are.
Chapter 36 Shit take. Madison shook her head. What? Did you not just hear the waiter? He pronounced the shiitake mushroom special as shit take and asked me how I wanted my baked lobster cooked. Done? I chuckled. Sorry, I guess I zoned out for a few seconds there. Madison brought her wine to her lips. Probably exhaustion from getting laid every night by your new boy toy. I sighed. Can I ask you a hypothetical question?
Of course.
If it makes you feel better to pretend it's not about you, go right ahead. Shoot. It does. I paused and thought about how to word it. If a woman is involved with a man, one who's been very upfront from the beginning that he doesn't want a long-term commitment, would it be insane for said woman to walk away from a good job with a shitload of stock options and money at stake on the off chance the guy might come around and want something more? Madison frowned and set down her wine glass. Oh, honey, you were only supposed to use him as a rebound. I ran my finger through the condensation on the base of my wine glass. I know, and it should have been the perfect arrangement. I mean, he's a narcissistic, commitment-phobic, chauvinistic, arrogant ass. Madison threw her hands in the air. Well, of course you fell for him. We laughed. Seriously, though, one of us is going to be reassigned to Texas in a few weeks. Would I be nuts if I looked for another job so the two of us could have a chance? How much money are we talking about here? Well, I have stock options that vest over the next 3 years. Basically, they give me the opportunity to buy 20,000 shares for a set price of $9. So it depends on what the stock is worth when they vest. What's it worth now? I winced. $21 a share? Madison's eyes bulged. That's what, almost 250 grand profit? I nodded and swallowed. She guzzled the rest of her wine. You like him that much? I nodded some more. Don't get me wrong, he's all those things I originally thought, but there's so much more underneath. Like, he has this childlike quality to him, but at the same time, he's so committed and responsible with his godson. Plus, he makes me laugh, even when I'm pissed off at him. And he has a good heart, but he doesn't want anyone to know. Not to mention, he has the goods and knows how to use them. How does Bennett feel about all this? I shook my head. We haven't spoken about it. Well, I think that's the conversation you need to have before you consider tossing your career and that much money aside. The thing is, I don't think we're there yet, and I can't imagine him being okay with me giving anything up for a chance that he'll come around. In fact, I'm pretty sure he'd fold himself right back into the little box he stays locked up in most of the time if he knew what I was thinking. Something has him gun-shy about relationships, but I don't know what. Don't you think that's a red flag in itself? That you don't even know what made him anti-relationship? Of course I do, and I know the entire thing sounds ludicrous to even consider, but I really like him, Mad. You know, sometimes it's hard to see things clearly in a rebound relationship. People often seek the security and comfort of what they just lost, and it can cause attachments that are more to the relationship than the actual person. I've thought about that. I have. But I don't think I'm trying to replace Andrew or what we had. Madison didn't look convinced. I'd expected her to tell me I was insane for even considering giving up a great job and money for a long shot at a man. At least, at first. But now that she wasn't on board or excited about my idea, it put a damper on my enthusiasm, too. I changed the subject and tried to enjoy the rest of my night. Although there was a reason the woman had been my best friend for more than 20 years, she saw through my bullshit. When we were leaving the restaurant, she hugged me extra long. If you love a narcissistic asshole, I'll love him too. If you decide to quit your job and take a chance on love, you can sleep on my couch and come to my work dinners 4 nights a week with me when you're broke. I'm here for you, no matter what. I didn't mean to shoot down your feelings. I was just being protective of you, my friend. I trust your judgment. You can make more money and find a new job. She pulled back and cupped my cheeks in her hands. You have time. You'll figure this out. I felt my eyes well up and pulled her in for another hug. Thank you. I'd decided not to text Bennett before showing up, but now that I stood in front of his building, looking up at his dark window, I wondered if this was a bad idea. It felt like a booty call, something I'd never done. In fact, in the 8 years Andrew and I had been together, I hadn't once even considered showing up unannounced. We just didn't have that type of relationship, which had never seemed odd to me until tonight. But here I stood, so screw it. No point in rethinking what I'd felt comfortable doing before I started overanalyzing things and comparing them to my last relationship. I took a deep breath and opened the door to his building. Pressing the buzzer labeled Fox, I waited while tapping my nails on the metal of the built-in mailbox underneath. I jumped when his voice came through the intercom. Yeah? He was so grumpy, I couldn't help but smile. Delivery for a Mr. Fox. I heard the smile in his words.
Delivery, huh? What do you got for me?
Whatever you're in the mood for. The buzzer buzzed, opening the door before I'd finished the last word. I chuckled, feeling giddy. But as the elevator climbed, other feelings started to take over. My body started to tingle, and my heartbeat sped up. My first booty call. No wonder people made such a big deal about it. When I stepped out of the elevator, Bennett was waiting in the hall, shirtless, leaning against the doorframe of his apartment. He was the picture of confident and casual, and his eyes glittered as he watched me walk toward him. He took a piece of my wayward hair between his thumb and pointer and played with it.
Whatever I'm in the mood for. That's a pretty big statement for a little girl.
His voice was so damn thick and gruff. I loved it. I shifted restlessly, feeling electricity crackle in the air all around us. Attempting to pull it together, I straightened my spine and looked up at his imposing frame. I'm here, aren't I? Bennett's mouth curved into a slow, wicked grin.
You most certainly are.
I yelped when he lifted me off the ground. Yet my legs seemed to know what to do before my brain caught up. They wrapped around his waist and locked behind his back as he carried me inside his apartment. His lips sealed over mine while one hand balled up a fistful of my hair, and he used it to tilt my head where he wanted it. Completely lost in the kiss, I had no idea we'd even been moving until my back hit the soft mattress behind me. Somehow we managed to strip out of most of our clothes while never breaking contact. Bennett dragged my thong down my legs, and my breaths were wild and jagged. He brushed the hair from my face.
One last chance. Whatever I'm in the mood for. You're sure?
I nodded, though now I was a little nervous. His wicked grin returned as he reached over to his end table and grabbed something out of the drawer. He held up a bottle of lube.
Full. Brand new. Bought it on the way home tonight in case the opportunity arose. We must be on the same page, sweetheart.
His head ducked to capture one of my nipples between his teeth. He tugged until my back arched off the bed, and then closed his lips over the swollen peak and sucked gently. By the time he lifted his head to align with mine again, I was panting like a wild animal. He shifted from on top to next to me, taking his body warmth and letting a cool breath of air hit my body. Goosebumps broke out in places I didn't even realize could bump. The sound of the cap popping open on the bottle of lube made me jump.
I'm assuming you're an anal virgin, am I right?
My eyes widened. I nodded because forming words would have been completely impossible. He kissed me gently one more time, then wrapped one arm around my waist and flipped me over like I was a rag doll.
Up on all fours, beautiful.
His arm lifted and guided me. The sound of my ragged breaths filled the air around us. Bennett positioned himself on his knees behind my propped-up ass. I felt like I might explode from nerves and anticipation. He bent and trailed a string of kisses from the top of my ass, up over my spine, onto my neck, and then nibbled his way to my ear. His body wrapped around mine, and I felt his cock nudge at my rear.
We'll go slow. I won't hurt you. Trust me.
I'd unknowingly been tense, and the warmth and concern in his voice helped my body relax a little. Bennett rose to his knees behind me, and I felt tiny beads of warm liquid begin to fall at the top of my ass. Each drop intensified my anticipation. Traveling painstakingly slowly, they followed the natural path between my ass cheeks. It was the single most euphoric feeling I'd ever experienced in my life. My toes started to tingle.
Jesus Christ, he groaned. That's fucking hot.
When the lubricant reached my lips, Bennett rubbed it into me, massaging my clit and teasing at my opening. He hunched over my body and used his other hand to turn my head for a kiss at the exact moment his fingers pushed inside me. Heat spread through my body when he murmured, "I want to be inside every part of you at once." He shifted his hips and replaced his fingers with his cock. The lubricant and my arousal slipped him inside with ease. He rocked his hips a few times, sinking deep, before lifting back to his knees behind me. When I felt the tip of one of his fingers circling over my anus, my body immediately clenched in reaction.
Relax. I won't push you. This is all I'll try tonight, I promise. Trust me. I closed my eyes and tried to unfurl the coil of tension inside me with a few deep breaths. Bennett gave me a little space, and slowly glided in and out of me a few times before trying again. The second time, it still felt foreign, but I accepted it and let it happen. He massaged and pushed the tip of his finger slowly inside, in unison with his hips. Eventually, I relaxed and started to move with him, even pushing back and meeting his thrusts. I was shocked at how good it felt. I became lost in the feeling of being full and in giving something so special to this man. My arms and legs started to shake, my body quivering in anticipation of the tsunami that had started to roll through me. Bennett. He pumped harder and faster, at the same time withdrawing his finger and then sliding it all the way back in. When I relaxed enough, he added a second finger. That was enough to set me off. I came hard and loud, sounds coming from me that I didn't even recognize. When I thought I might collapse, Bennett hooked one arm around my waist to keep me steady and pumped into me harder. With a voracious growl, he leaned over, buried his head in my hair, and spilled inside of me. We were both soaked with sweat when we collapsed on the bed. Bennett, aware of his weight, quickly rolled off my back, and the two of us struggled to catch our heaving breaths. My hair was plastered to the side of my face. Pushing it off, I rolled over to my back. Wow. Bennett pushed up on an elbow and stared down at me. He leaned over for a gentle kiss, then rubbed my bottom lip with his thumb. Thank fuck that ex of yours is a dumbass and had no idea what you liked. I smiled a goofy smile. I don't think I knew either. He kissed me again. It's my absolute pleasure to help you figure that out. I just did my first booty call. I wiggled my eyebrows. Bennett laughed. Pretty damn appropriate name right about now, don't you think?
Chapter 37 Content. For the last half hour, I'd been lying here trying to figure out the last time I'd felt this feeling. If someone had asked me a few months ago, I would have said I felt it every time I had sex, that post-orgasmic relaxation that takes over your body. But I would have been wrong. That was sated. I hadn't realized until now that there was even a difference between feeling sated and content. But there is a damn big one. Sated is that satisfied feeling you get after a good meal when you were starving, or when you're horny as shit and you get a release that drains the life out of you. Sure, I was drained right now, don't get me wrong. And I also felt satisfied, but I wasn't sated. Sated satisfies a hunger that always comes back. Content makes you feel like you don't need anything more, not ever. And that's fucked up. Yet at the moment, I didn't give a crap how screwed up it was that I felt this way. In fact, for the last half hour, I'd had to take a piss. But I didn't, because I was afraid when my feet hit the floor, this feeling might be gone again. Annalise's head rested on my chest as I stroked her hair. Her fingers traced a small circle around my abdomen.
Can I ask you something?
Her voice was low.
Yeah, I can go again. Just move your hand down a little farther south for a minute.
She giggled and play-smacked my stomach.
That's not what I was going to ask.
She paused and her voice turned serious.
But could you really do it again? We did it twice already since I got here.
I took her hand and pushed it down to my cock. I was still semi-erect after the last go-round.
I think you might have a problem. It's supposed to deflate once in a while, you know.
Well, now that we're talking about my dick, he knows it, and he's even more awake, so if you had a real question, you better get to asking it pretty quick. Your mouth is going to be too full to speak in a minute. Annalise propped her head up on her fist, which rested on my chest.
What do you think would happen if we didn't have an expiration date?
I froze. What do you mean?
What if we just worked together and one of us wasn't relocating soon? Do you think we'd be doing this a year from now?
I didn't want to hurt her feelings, but I needed to be honest. Words normally came from my brain, but it felt like this one ripped and tore its way up from my heart. No. She closed her eyes and nodded.
Okay.
Fuck. She turned her head and rested it back on my chest. A few minutes later, I felt wetness on my skin. Fuck. Fuck. She was crying. I closed my eyes and took a few deep breaths. Then I rolled us until she was on her back, and I could speak to her face to face. I wiped a tear with my thumb. She looked over my shoulder instead of at me. Hey, look at me. I hated that her eyes were filled with pain when they met mine, pain I'd caused. The answer has everything to do with me and nothing to do with you. I was rarely at a loss for words, but I didn't have any to accurately describe what I thought of her. Yet I knew it was important that my message get through. She'd just come out of a shitty, long-term relationship, and she needed to know what she was. You're everything, Annalise. I've met two types of women in my life, every woman out there, and you. Then I don't understand. You asked me if things were different, if we would be doing this a year from now. I'm being honest. We wouldn't be. But I don't want you to think it's because I wouldn't be the luckiest son of a bitch if I got to keep you in my bed for that long. Because I would. But some people just aren't cut out for long term. Why not? The truth was, because they don't deserve it. But I couldn't tell Annalise that. She'd spend every last minute of the time we had left together trying to prove me wrong. I looked away because I couldn't look into her eyes and lie. Because I like being single. I like my freedom and not having to answer to anyone or have any responsibilities. You want candles and flowers on Valentine's Day, and you deserve to get what you want. She swallowed and nodded her head. I decided it was about time I answered nature's call. I'm going to go to the bathroom and get something to drink. You want something?
No, thank you,
she whispered sadly. Unfortunately, I hadn't been wrong. By the time my feet hit the ground, my feeling of contentment was long gone. She avoided me for days after that. And I let her. We weren't fighting or pissed off at each other. When we passed in the hall, we put on fake smiles, and she made up some excuse about an appointment she had to run to that I knew from stalking her calendar she didn't have. Yet I didn't call her out on it. There was no point. It was starting to feel like our relationship had run its natural course, and the best night of sex of my life had turned out to be our swan song. It was probably for the best. Put a little space between us, and it would make things easier. Our presentations to Star were next week, and pet supplies was scheduled for the beginning of the week after that. What was the point of keeping things going? Yet, I couldn't stop myself. Her door was shut, but I knew she was still in there. We were the only two left in the office at almost 9 o'clock on Thursday night. I was also fucking starving. I knocked on her office door after rummaging through the refrigerator. Come in. I held a tin-foiled sandwich in my hand. You hungry? I'll split with you. She sighed.
Starving, actually.
I walked to her desk and handed her half a PB&J. Annalise licked her lips and took it, though she stopped with it halfway to her mouth.
Wait. This is yours, right?
I grinned. Just eat it. I'll come in early in the morning and replace it. She glanced longingly down at the sandwich and back to me.
This is Marina's, isn't it?
I bit half of my half off in one gigantic bite and spoke with my mouth full.
It's so fucking good.
The corners of her lips twitched, but she bit into her half anyway.
You're corrupting me.
I thought you were enjoying me corrupting you. I tilted my head. But you seem to have been too busy for that the last few days. Annalise's smile fell.
Oh, sorry. I've been swamped.
I glanced over her desk. Her laptop was shut and a stack of files had been neatly piled up. Looks like you're just finishing up. I caught her gaze. So does that mean you're free tonight? She stared at me for a few heartbeats and then raised one hand to cover her mouth while she opened it for an obvious pretend yawn.
I'm really wiped out. Maybe another night.
I knew she'd lied even before her skin started to blush, yet I let her off the hook anyway. I nodded.
Yeah, sure, I'm tired too.
I hadn't been lying. I was tired. Yet I didn't go home. Instead, I hit up the shithole bar closest to the office and ordered a double scotch, and then another one, and then another, until the bartender told me he'd give me one last drink only if I handed him my cell phone. I tossed it on the bar and slurred my words.
That's an expensive drink, but go ahead, keep it. Just give me the damn thing.
The bartender took my phone in one hand and poured me a drink with the other. He raised a brow.
What's your name?
Annalise. I laughed maniacally. Or Sophia, take your pick. I tipped my glass toward him, and half of it sloshed onto the bar. And she looks fucking great in a cowboy hat.
Which one are we talking about, Annalise or Sophia?
Annalise. Beautiful, man. Just beautiful. I swallowed a big gulp of my drink.
I'm sure she is. I'm calling you an Uber. Where are you headed after that drink?
She thinks I'm a dick. The stoic bartender sighed.
Pretty sure she might be right about that. What address she going to, buddy?
I don't deserve her.
I'm sure you don't. What about that address?
I knocked back the contents of my glass.
Are you married?
He held up his left hand.
16 years.
How'd you know you loved her?
If you give me an address to call this damn Uber, I'll tell you how I knew.
I rattled off the address. He typed into my phone and then slid it across the bar to me.
You know that saying, if you love something, set it free and it will come back to you?
Yeah. He shook his head.
Well, that's a crock of shit. If you love someone and you set her free, she might come back with herpes. So get over yourself and lock that shit down before you get an STD.
He paused. Your Uber will be here in 4 minutes, so you should start walking your drunk ass to the curb right about now.
We're here.
The driver's voice jolted me awake. Slumped in the back seat, I must have dozed off on the short ride home. I nodded.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
It took me a few tries, but I managed to find the door handle and open the damn thing. I even stumbled out without falling on my face. The Uber driver mustn't have been as impressed with how well I'd done because he didn't stick around to watch me make it to the door. He had his foot pressed to the floor to get the hell out of there before I could even finish swaying enough to walk the 3 steps to the curb. But I waved goodbye anyway. Somehow I made my way to the front door. Luckily, when 220 pounds leans forward on the verge of falling over, it also propels a lot of momentum. I spent 5 minutes trying to get the key in the lock, but the damn thing wouldn't work. I'd started to think someone had come to my place and changed the fucking lock. I took a step back and squinted at the door, attempting to get a good look at the lock. But then the door swung open. What the fuck? Stumbling back, I blinked a few times.
What the hell are you doing?
Fanny pulled her robe tight.
I'd gone to the wrong house?
Fuck. Maybe I didn't.
I didn't mean to hurt her.
I swayed back and forth.
I didn't know how she felt.
It's after midnight. I should call the goddamn police. I looked down and swallowed the lump in my throat.
I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry.
I'd said the word so many times 8 years ago. They did nothing for either of us back then. But what did I expect? Forgiveness? Forgiveness doesn't change the past.
You want me to tell you it's okay? It's not. Lucas told me about the girl you brought to Disney. You want me to accept your apology so you can move on without a guilty conscience? Is that what this is about? My daughter doesn't get to move on, does she?
No, she doesn't. I shook my head.
I'm sorry. You know what sorry does?
I looked up and met her angry eyes.
What? Nothing.
The door slammed in my face before I could say another word.
Chapter 38. December 1st. Dear me, we're pregnant. Not exactly what we'd planned, huh? It's a long story, but it happened when we went to Minnetonka with Mom 2 months ago. Remember the cute guy we met at the bar when we snuck out after Mom went to sleep? Yep, that's him. He seemed like such a nice guy. Until we showed up at his house to tell him we were pregnant 2 weeks ago, and his wife answered the door. His wife? The jerk had said he didn't even have a girlfriend. We haven't told Mom yet. She's not going to be happy. The only person in the world who knows is Bennett. The day after I told him, he drove home for the weekend to make sure we were okay. We pretended to be, but we're not, really. I secretly wish we were carrying Bennett's baby. He'd be so good to us and such a good dad. I really do love him. Different than the way best friends should love each other. This poem is dedicated to Lucas or Lily. Thunder breaks above.
Dark clouds gather in the sky. Sun will shine someday. This letter will self-destruct in 10 minutes. Anonymously, Sophie.
Chapter 39. It felt like a marching band had taken up residence inside my skull. The dull pounding ratcheted up to full-on percussion jam session any time I attempted to raise my head from the pillow. What the hell did I drink last night? And what time is it? I felt around my nightstand for my phone, but it wasn't there. Rolling over, I pried one eye open and met a stream of light coming in through the blinds. God. I shielded my eyes. That fucking hurts. I forced myself from bed, went to the bathroom, and grabbed 3 Tylenol from the medicine cabinet, swallowing them down dry. On my way back, I found my cell on the floor in the bedroom, next to the clothes I'd worn yesterday. 8:45. Shit. I needed to haul my ass into the office. Yet I climbed back into bed. The Tylenol needed to kick in before I could do that. I swiped my phone with the intention of shooting off an email to Jonas to let him know I'd be late, but instead I found a bunch of missed calls. 2 from Fanny this morning and 3 from Annalise last night. What the hell does Fanny want? It was never a good thing when she called. I was just about to hit ignore when pieces of last night started to creep back, little by little. Too much scotch. Uber. Showing up at Lucas's house and groveling to Fanny. Calling Annalise from the curb in front of Fanny's. I shut my eyes. Jesus Christ. I'd woken her up to apologize. And to tell her I thought she was beautiful, and smart, and funny, and that I'd wanted to fuck her wearing a cowboy hat and heels since the first time she stomped her sexy little ass into my office and pushed back. Fuck. I spent the next few minutes taking some relaxing breaths that didn't work, and then hit call back on Annalise's missed call. I needed to apologize before I dealt with Fanny. She answered on the first ring.
How are you feeling this lovely morning?
I groaned, like I got run over by a steamroller and the bastard refused to back up and finish the job. She laughed.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I was starting to get worried. I figured you wouldn't be much in the mood for your morning run, but 9 o'clock is like midday for you.
Yeah. I rubbed my free hand over my face. Listen, I'm sorry about last night.
It's okay, no biggie. I booty called you last week. You're entitled to a free drunk dial or two.
I half smiled. Thanks. Can you do me a favor and let Jonas know I'll be in late? Say I'm working from home this morning to finish up the star presentation or something.
Sure, of course.
Thanks. After I hung up, I listened to the voicemail from Fanny. Not surprisingly, she wasn't half as understanding as Annalise seemed to be, but I needed to get my ass kicking over with. So I hit call back on her name next, hoping maybe she wouldn't answer. No such luck. Fanny bawled me out for a solid 5 minutes without taking a breath.
You want to apologize to someone? Apologize to Lucas.
I shut my eyes. I woke him.
You sure did. And apparently the little sneak was listening. He wanted to know what you'd done wrong that you were apologizing for.
Fuck. What did you tell him?
I told him to go back to bed and we'd talk about it after school today.
You can't, Fanny. That can't come from you. He needs to hear it from me.
Then I guess you'll be having a conversation with him real soon.
I raked my fingers through my hair. He's too young. It'll hurt him too much.
Should have thought about that 8 years ago, shouldn't you? Maybe you would have paid a little more attention.
Fanny,
I'll let him know you'll be having a talk with him when you see him next weekend.
But, she interrupted again,
and if you don't, I will.
Click. Chapter 40. Good luck. Annalise had her hands full, so I opened the conference room door.
Thanks.
She set her presentation materials down on the long table.
Even though I'm sure you don't really mean it.
I smiled a genuine smile for the first time in days. I actually did mean it, even though I wished I didn't. Shit would be a hell of a lot easier if I didn't want to see her succeed. I'd just finished my final presentation to Star, and their team had taken a break while I cleaned up my stuff and Annalise set up for her turn.
How did it go?
She asked.
I'd hit it out of the park, but I didn't want to rattle her. Instead of gloating like my normal obnoxious self would, I shrugged. Okay, I guess. She squinted at me.
Just okay.
I looked at the clock. They're not coming back for another 20 minutes. You want to do a dry run on me?
You mean show you my concepts?
Sure, I shrugged. My turn's over. I can't steal any of your ideas, even if I wanted to. Annalise chewed on her bottom lip.
Sure, why not? I'm not usually so nervous, but for some reason this one is freaking me out a little.
She set up her boards and walked me through her presentation. I looked on, mesmerized by how she started out with such visible nerves, yet managed to plow through to deliver a kick-ass presentation. My gut told me her concepts weren't going to go over as well as mine had, but I wanted to boost her ego, not shred it, so I complimented her. Nice job. Your colors brought in a familiarity from their parent company, yet you created an entirely new identity for Star. She stood a little taller, so I kept going. And I like the tagline. The play on the words is smart, too.
Thank you.
Annalise started to look suspicious, so I scaled back the flattery to something more my usual style. Your ass also looks phenomenal in that skirt. She rolled her eyes, but I caught the little grin she tried to hide. I'd done my job here. Her shaky confidence had been firmed. Jonas walked into the conference room.
You all ready, Annalise?
She looked over at me, and then to Jonas with a smile.
Sure am.
On the way out of the conference room, I leaned over to whisper some parting thoughts to my nemesis. How about a little wager? I win, you'll bend over my desk later. You win, you'll get on your knees under mine.
Gee, what a prize for me.
I smiled. Good luck, Texas. Later in the day, Jonas knocked on my open office door.
Got a minute?
I tossed my pencil on the desk, glad for the distraction. My concentration had been shit all afternoon. Come on in. He closed the door behind him, not something Jonas did often. Taking a seat in the chair on the other side of my desk, he let out a big sigh.
How long have we known each other now? 10 years?
I shrugged. About that?
In all that time, I've never seen you as stressed as you've been the last week or two.
He was right about that. My damn neck ached from tension, even when I woke up in the morning. There's a lot at stake, way more than this competition was ever supposed to be about. Jonas nodded.
That's why I'm telling you this in confidence today. I owe it to you to put you out of your misery as soon as possible, after how hard you've worked for me all these years.
What was he getting at? Okay. He smiled half-heartedly.
I spoke to the team at Star before they left a little while ago. They're going with your campaign. It was the unanimous choice of the entire team.
I should have felt like high-fiving and celebrating, but instead the victory felt hollow. I forced a happy smile.
That's great.
That's not the only good news.
Billings Media has also unofficially told me they plan to run with your pitch. They also reached out to our CEO and let him know they'd been impressed with your work over the years.
I didn't ask them to do that, either. They did it on their own because you work hard.
Wow, okay.
I don't think I need to tell you what this means. The board is going to formally vote on all of the senior management staffing restructures and terminations, but it's just a formality at this point. You've won 2 out of 3, so the third isn't even necessary. You're staying put, Bennett.
Jonas slapped his knee and used it as a balance to get up.
Annalise will be transferred to the Dallas office, but we'll wait until after the pet supplies presentations to break the news.
I rubbed the knot at the back of my neck. Thanks for letting me know, Jonas. He left the door open behind him on the way out. I'd won. Everything I'd wanted 2 months ago was mine for the keeping. Yet I couldn't have felt more damn miserable. It made me question whether I ever really knew what I wanted to begin with, because now I couldn't imagine wanting anything that took Annalise 1,000 miles away. An hour later, I was still staring off into space when Annalise came by with her jacket on.
Thank you for the dry run this afternoon. It made my presentation come off smoother.
I nodded.
No problem. Glad it went well.
Her lips curved in a dubious smile.
Sure you are. Anyway, I'm heading out to meet Madison at some Nepali restaurant, whatever that is. Are we still on for dinner tomorrow night?
I'd completely forgotten she was supposed to make me dinner at her place. Sure, sounds good. It might be one of the last nights we have. Annalise dug her keys from her purse and tilted her head.
You okay?
Fine, just tired.
Well, get some rest tonight, she smirked, because you won't be getting any at my place tomorrow.
Chapter 41. April 1st. Dear me, it's time. These last few months since Lucas and I moved in with Bennett, I've been happier than I've been in my entire life. But this morning, watching Bennett laugh and play with Lucas finally made up my mind. We were already like a family in so many ways. Maybe he could love me back the way I love him? He just got a promotion at his new job, after only a year of working there. He's more settled now. I have to at least try, tell him how I've felt for so long now. What harm could it do? I can't remember the last time I was this excited. Hopefully, when I write next month, something life-changing will have happened between Bennett and me. This poem is dedicated to Bennett. Two vines growing tall, one wraps around the other tight, entwined or strangled. This letter will self-destruct in 10 minutes. Anonymously, Sophie.
Chapter 42. I couldn't sleep again. Do you remember The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe? You probably read it in high school. No? Well, let me give you the short version. A dude kills another dude and stuffs his body under his floorboards. He keeps hearing the dead guy's heartbeat from beneath the floor because of the guilt his conscience lays on him. Either that, or the guy's just nuts. I was never sure. Anyway, that's me, with a slight modification. I'm living The Smelltale Heart by Bennett Fox. I tossed and turned half of the damn night, the scent of Annalise so heavy on my pillow that after 2 hours of trying to fall asleep, I got up and stripped the bed. I also grabbed a spare pillow I'd had stuffed in the back of my closet, one Annalise had never laid a finger on, and tossed the offending linens into the hall. Sniff, sniff. Thump, thump. Lying on a bare mattress, using a pillow with no case, I still fucking smelled her. It couldn't even be physically possible, but her scent hadn't dimmed one bit. I beat the pillow with my fist to fluff it up. Thump, thump. Eventually, I got out of bed and searched the goddamn room. She had to have left a bottle of perfume somewhere. I pulled everything out of the nightstands, took a whiff of the bottle of odorless lube, and checked under the bed. No damn perfume. Sniff, sniff. Thump, thump. The next morning, my ass dragged. At least it was Saturday, so I didn't have to go into the office. Although I would have preferred that to the thought of talking to Lucas today. I had to be a sadist, or was it a masochist? I always confuse those two. Regardless of what you called it, the timing seemed to be a fucked up coincidence. I was about to hurt the two people in my life I actually gave a shit about. Fanny met me at the door with a scowl. I couldn't have been more thrilled when she said nothing, slammed the door in my face, and screamed upstairs in her usual friendly manner. Lucas was his normal, happy-go-lucky self. He walked out, and we did our customary handshake. Then his nose scrunched up as he looked at me. "Are you sick or something?" "No, why do you say that?" He hopped down the two steps of the porch in one giant leap. "You look like crud. And you showed up at the house in the middle of the night the other day, and you didn't sound so good." "Yeah, sorry about that. I didn't mean to wake you up." He shrugged. "Grandma said you wanted to talk to me about something." I took a deep breath and let it out. "Yeah, we have to talk for a little while today." After we loaded into my car and buckled, Lucas turned to check out the back seat. "No fishing rods?" I shook my head. "Not today, buddy. I want to take you somewhere." He frowned. "Okay." During the drive over to the boat harbor, I attempted to make small talk, but it all felt forced. My palms started to sweat as I parked. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea to talk to him about his mother after all. He was still pretty young. Fanny probably had a price to keep her mouth shut. It might take the contents of my bank account, but at the moment, it seemed like a good investment. Putting it off would be best for Lucas. He's still too young. Just as that thought crossed my mind, Lucas stretched his arms over his head in a giant yawn. His armpits were covered in hair.
Yeah, nice try. This was a discussion he'd probably deserved to have years ago, but I'd been too selfish. We pulled into the parking lot, and Lucas looked out the window at the bay and nearby jetty. A few people were fishing off the rocks.
"Where are we?"
he asked.
"Why didn't we bring a pole?"
"Because today is about listening. Come on, I want to show you someplace." We walked down the jetty. As we approached our destination, I started to hear the sound and smiled. "You hear that noise?" I asked.
"Yeah, what is it?"
"It's called the wave organ. This was your mom's favorite place to go when we were teenagers. She used to drag me here all the time." The wave organ was a wave-activated acoustic sculpture located along the bay. Made mostly from the rubble of a demolished cemetery, it looked more like ancient ruins than an art and music exhibit. 20-something PVC and concrete organ pipes were located throughout the carved granite and marble pieces, creating sound that came from the water movement beneath. Lucas and I took a seat on broken rocks across from each other and listened to the subtle sounds.
"It's not really music."
His face wrinkled up. I smiled. "That's what I used to tell your mother, but she told me I didn't listen well enough." Lucas concentrated for a minute, trying to hear something other than the sound holding a seashell up to your ear made. He shrugged.
"It's okay. Would be better with a fishing pole."
I agreed with his sentiment. I'd always been a spit-it-out-say-what's-on-your-mind kind of guy, but I couldn't figure out how to dive into the conversation I'd brought him here to have. Apparently, Lucas knew something was on my mind. He picked up a small rock and tossed it into the water.
"Are we going to have the birds and bees talk or something?"
I chuckled. "I wasn't planning on it today, but if you want to, we can."
"Tommy McKinley already told me all about stuff like that."
"Is Tommy the pimply kid who smells like a hamster that we took to the movies a few months ago? The one who tied his own shoelaces together and fell over?" Lucas laughed.
"Yeah, that's Tommy."
"Oh, we definitely needed to have that talk. I'm guessing Tommy's experience with girls is pretty much zilch. So why don't we have that talk next week? I wanted to talk to you about your mom today."
"What about her?"
I suddenly felt lightheaded. How did I tell this kid I adored that I'd ruined his life? My mouth went dry. "You know that your mom and I were best friends, right?"
"Yeah, even though that's weird. Who wants to be best friends with a girl when you're a kid?"
I wilted a smile. There wasn't an easy way to confess to this kid. I'd rather a giant wave wash over the rock I was sitting on and take me out to sea than finish this conversation. But I looked over at Lucas waiting. Like a coward, I looked down. "You know your mom died in a car accident?"
"Yeah,"
he shook his head.
"I don't remember it, though, really. Just a lot of people coming to our house."
I nodded. "Yeah, a lot of people really loved your mom." When I got quiet again, he asked,
"Is that what you wanted to tell me?"
I looked up and found Lucas's eyes so full of innocence and trust. Trust he'd had in me for 11 years. Trust I was about to shatter. "No, buddy. I need to tell you something about the accident." He waited. There was no putting the cork back in the bottle after this. I took one last deep breath. "I should have told you this a long time ago, but you were too young, or I was too afraid to tell you, or maybe both." I looked away, then back at Lucas to deliver the blow. "I was the one driving the car the night of the accident. Your mom and I, we just had a big argument, and it had rained a lot. A big tree needed to be cut back and was partially covering a stop sign. I didn't see it until we were almost on top of it. I hit the brakes, but the ground was wet." The expression on Lucas's face changed immediately. It seemed to take forever for him to swallow what I'd said, to allow it to fully register. But when it finally did, he stood.
"Is that why you spend all this time with me?"
His voice was full of hurt, and the more he spoke, the louder he became.
"You feel guilty for killing my mother? That's why you come to visit me every other week and pay off my grandmother?"
"No, that's not it at all."
"You're a liar!"
"Lucas,
just leave me alone."
He took off running down the jetty. I called after him a few times, but when he stopped down the path to pick up rocks and hurl them into the water, I thought it might be better to give him some headspace. He didn't usually get upset talking about his mother, but what I'd told him was a lot to absorb and probably opened a lot of old wounds, along with creating new ones. Lucas didn't speak to me for the rest of the afternoon, but he also didn't ask me to take him home early, so I didn't. Instead, I stopped at the store and picked up a cheap rod and some tackle and took him to a lake to fish. If I asked something, he growled a one-word answer. I found a certain amount of comfort in knowing that even when he was upset and angry, he still didn't completely ignore me. As we got close to his house, I knew he wouldn't leave me any time to talk to him once we arrived. He'd hop out the minute I stopped and slam the door behind him. Hell, I would have done the same at his age. Which is why I eased up on the gas and said my piece during the last 5 minutes of the drive. I understand you're upset with me, and I'm not looking for you to talk to me right now, but I need you to know that none of the time I've spent with you was born out of guilt. Do I feel guilty about what happened and wish it had been different? Every damn day of my life. But that's not why I come visit you. I come visit you because I loved your mother like she was my sister. I started to get choked up and my voice broke. And I love you with all of my heart. You can hate me if you want for what happened. I deserve that. But there's nothing more honest in my life than what I've got with you, Lucas. We pulled up in front of his house and I turned my head to try to hide wiping my tears. Lucas looked over at me, stared into my eyes for the longest time, and then turned and got out of my car without a word.
Chapter 43. You sure you're okay? I took Bennett's plate from in front of him. He'd barely eaten anything.
Yeah, just tired.
He rubbed at the back of his neck. Did you not like the chicken?
No, it was great. I ate with Lucas earlier. I wasn't thinking. Sorry I didn't finish when you went to all that work.
I set our plates in the sink and prompted Bennett to pull his chair back from the table a little. Sitting on his lap, I stroked his hair. It's fine. I don't care at all. You just seem somewhere else tonight.
Sorry.
Stop apologizing. I stood and offered him my hand. Come on. You're tired, and you've been rubbing at that neck since you got here. Let me get the knots out.
Bennett took my hand, and I led him into my bedroom. He slipped off his shoes and sat down on the edge of the mattress.
I walked into the bathroom and grabbed the half-empty bottle of baby oil I kept under the sink for my dry skin. Take off your shirt so I don't get it oily. When watching me pour oil onto my hands didn't invite any lewd comments, I knew whatever was bothering him was more than neck pain and being tired. I got up on my knees behind him and began to massage the baby oil into his skin. His chin dropped to his chest as I worked my fingers into the muscles.
You weren't kidding. You're so tense. It's like one giant knot back here.
Bennett made a sound that was a cross between a groan of pleasure and pain as I dug my fingers deeper into his flesh. Feel good? He nodded. After I'd loosened the muscles in his neck, I figured I'd loosen another muscle. So I reached around his chest and unbuckled his belt while kissing the back of his neck. Then I climbed off the bed and stood between his legs before dropping to my knees. The sound of the zipper on Bennett's jeans echoed through the room. Reaching into his pants, I cupped his cock, and he let out a loud, shaky breath. I'd thought it was the sound of his self-control slipping, but when I looked up, I found his eyes shut and his face twisted in pain.
Bennett?
I pulled back. What's wrong? His eyes opened.
Nothing.
Don't tell me it's nothing. You look so upset. He stood and took a few steps away from me.
I'm sorry.
Stop saying that. What's going on with you? I waited quietly for him to say something, but he just continued to take deep, steady breaths in and out. It seemed like he was trying to pull himself together, rein in his control. Bennett ran a hand through his hair.
Fuck!
He sounded angry, but I could tell whatever it was, he was angry with himself, not me. Talk to me. He paced a few times and then sat back down on the edge of the bed, head in his hands and fingers pulling at his hair. I knelt in front of him.
Bennett?
I watched his Adam's apple bob up and down as he swallowed, and then his shoulders started to shake. At first I thought he was laughing, some sort of maniacal laughter that needed to come out because it was either that or break down and cry. But then he looked up, and I saw his eyes filled with unshed tears. My heart stopped. He wasn't laughing. He was silently crying,
doing everything in his power not to let it out. Oh, God, Bennett! What's wrong? What happened? Chapter 44. I held him tight. His shoulders shook for so long I knew I needed to brace for the sound when it finally came. It was an ear-splitting, heart-breaking, soul-crushing noise when it did. I had no idea what could possibly cause so much pain, but I knew I wanted to take some of it away for him. I rubbed his back, stroked his hair, assured him with tender words that everything was going to be okay. Whatever it was, this was pain that had built for a long time. It wasn't new, not the type that happens when you lose someone unexpectedly, or suddenly find out the man you thought you knew wasn't the man you fell in love with. The pain that emanated from Bennett was the kind that had spent years bottled up, like a volcano that erupts after 100 years of being dormant and suddenly its fire is shooting 300 feet into the air. I started to cry with him, even though I had no idea what we were crying about. It was just too emotional to watch and not be moved to tears of my own. We held each other for such a long time. "It's going to be okay," I whispered. "It's going to be okay." Eventually, Bennett's shudders started to slow. I wasn't sure if it was because I brought him comfort, or he just had no more tears to cry. He took a few long, deep, shaky breaths in and out, and his grip on me loosened. His face had been buried in my neck. I wanted to look at him, to see his face, but I was half afraid that once I pulled back and saw the pain in his eyes, I'd lose it all over again, even if he was okay. When both our breathing had returned to normal and neither of us was crying anymore, I cleared my hoarse throat. "Do you want me to get you something to drink? A water or something?" Bennett shook his head, keeping it down so I couldn't see him, but one of his hands lifted to my face. He pressed his palm to my cheek and whispered, "Thank you." "Anytime," I smiled sadly, taking his hand from my face and bringing it to my lips. "Anytime." He lifted his head and leaned his forehead to mine. His eyes were swollen and red, but the half-smile he managed was real. "Thanks for the offer. But I'm hoping this was the first and last time you'll be seeing that." He sounded more like Bennett already. "Do you want to talk about it?" He looked up. "Not yet." "Okay. Well, you know where to find me if you do." He grinned sadly. "In Texas." I started to laugh. "Boy, that didn't take you long. And here I was thinking you'd be nice to me after how nice I was to you. I should have known better." Bennett scooped me up and surprised me by swinging me up to the top of the bed near the headboard. He climbed on top of me. "Are you saying I owe you one?" I nodded with a giant ear-to-ear grin. "Maybe more than one." He chuckled. "Well, I'd better get started on that right away." His face moved to my neck once more, only this time he definitely wasn't crying. We wrapped ourselves around one another. Not 10 minutes ago we'd both been emotional wrecks, and now those feelings had transformed into want and need. Bennett kissed me passionately, with so much tenderness and worship. Our desire for one another had never been an issue, but this moment felt different for some reason. When he broke the kiss to slip off my clothes, he looked down at me as if no one else in the world existed. The smile he wore when he pushed inside of me touched me deeply. I knew in my heart that something had changed. Then he solidified that feeling by making love to me for the very first time. I told Lucas the truth about me tonight. The room was pitch dark. I'd just started to doze off and couldn't be sure if I'd heard him right. "The truth?" I felt him nod, even if I couldn't see it. My head was tucked into the crook of his shoulder, and he continued to stroke my hair gently as he spoke. "Sophie was my best friend. People thought it was weird that we spent so much time together but weren't hooking up. She was like the little sister I never had, even though we were the same age. We were 19 when she got pregnant with some loser's baby. Her mother kicked her out, and she came to stay with me in my dorm room for a while, and then went back home. It went like that off and on for years. But after I graduated, she couldn't take it at home with Fanny anymore. We got an apartment together so we could share expenses, and I could help out with Lucas while she went to cosmetology school at night." He paused, and I waited in silence until he was ready to continue. "One night, she got out of class early. Lucas was already asleep in her room.
I'd met a woman in our building, and we'd started hanging out once in a while. Sophie walked in on me and her having sex in my room. He blew out a deep breath. I don't even remember the woman's name. Anyway, Sophie freaked out, saying Lucas could have walked in on us, and we had a big fight. The next night, she dropped Lucas off at her mother's instead of leaving him home with me when she went to school. Or at least I thought she went to school. A buddy of mine called later that night and said he was at a bar, and Sophie was there, and she was pretty loaded. So I drove to pick her up. It was a shitty night, pouring out, and I found her making out with some dirtbag biker. There was a big scene. The biker wanted to kick my ass, but I got her the hell out of there before she did something stupid. He took another deep breath. Our fight continued in the car, and Sophie kissed me. She kissed you? I thought she was just drunk at first. I pushed her off me and told her to cut the shit, but she started to cry. Then everything came out. She told me she'd been in love with me for years. Apparently, the night before hadn't been about finding me with another woman while Lucas was sound asleep. It was because she had feelings for me. Oh, wow. And you had no idea? None. Like a fucking blockhead, I didn't see any of it. Until long afterward. And I didn't handle it very well. I told her that was ridiculous, and she was like my little sister. Ouch. Yeah. That didn't go over too well. She was pretty upset, so I thought I'd better take her home. He paused. We never made it. I missed a stop sign because of some trees weighed down from the rain, and there was an 18-wheeler coming. We skidded, and the car flipped a few times. I turned over onto my stomach. Oh my God, Bennett. He shook his head. I shouldn't have been driving while I was upset and pissed off. Not at night with bad visibility and wet roads. I clutched my chest. The story itself was heartbreaking, but then I remembered what he'd said earlier. I told Lucas the truth tonight. Lucas didn't know any of this? He nodded. Not until this afternoon. It's a long story, but Sophie kept these journals, and her mother recently read them. Lucas almost read them, too. The last entry in her journal was written the day before she died, and said she was going to tell me about her feelings. Her mother knew we'd had a fight the night Sophie died, but when she read the journals, she realized what we must have been fighting about. Fanny never liked me to begin with, and rightly blames me for the accident. He sighed. She only lets me stay in Lucas's life because I help her out financially. Lucas and I both got a settlement because the tree should have been cut back, and the trucker was speeding, but his is in a trust, and Fanny only gets a stipend for his living expenses each month. I've always known I needed to tell him I was driving. I just thought I could wait until he was a little older. He shook his head. Reading those journals stirred up a lot of feelings, for both of us. I shut my eyes. Oh, God, Bennett, I'm so sorry. You told him all that today? I'm guessing it didn't go well? He could have told me never to contact him again. So, I guess it could have been worse. It didn't take a shrink to figure out why Bennett didn't do relationships. A woman he cared for deeply had told him she was in love with him the night she died in a car accident. An accident that happened while he was behind the wheel. An accident he obviously harbored a lot of guilt over. In an instant, the rest of the missing pieces of Bennett Fox clicked into place. Such a complex man, with scars inside that ran a lot deeper than the one on the outside from the accident. He'll come around. He's a smart kid, and in the little time I spent with you two, it was clear how much you care about him. I'm sure he was just upset at the shock. It must have felt like a big secret kept from him. He thinks I've been spending all this time with him out of guilt for what I did. And honestly, I do have a lot of guilt. But that's never been the reason I stayed involved in Lucas's life. We were quiet for a long time. I needed to wrap my head around everything he'd shared, and Bennett obviously needed space. But first, I needed to ask one more question. Bennett?